Blog Talk Radio.
Hello! Hello! Yay! I can't tell you how much that just tickles me, that applause, that opening applause. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and it is the sweet third Thursday with our amazing guest, comrade, confidant, soul sister, beautiful being of light, Christina Keen and the goddess Sophia. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Hi.
Yay!
Yay, great to be here.
Yeah, it is a really, it's so funny we spoke briefly before the show. I am feeling very, very deep right now. I mean, deeply feeling and feeling deep. I'm feeling emotionally, I am just, I'm not sure if I'm the only one going through this. I don't believe I am from my nanny work and stuff. But how are you experiencing life on the planet as of late?
Yeah, no, things are really going great for me, but I definitely am hearing from my clients over and over again that things seem to be intensified, so that there's a type of intensity of feeling or a sensing or just experiencing deeper, like experiencing life deeper than I think people have had before. And with that, I think sometimes comes a sense of overwhelmness. So I thought as a theme today, I kind of could touch upon, I mean, I've spent a long, long time with being sensitive. So as you embrace becoming a professional channel, I think that's one of the things that you have to deal with. What is it like to do this work and to be this sensitive, and how do I manage it? And I think what I've been hearing from all my clients is this wanting management skills. And I know that sounds very funny. Even when I say it, it sounds funny coming out of my mouth. But it is one of those things that I do believe that our sensitivity can be managed. And in managing it, we find so much more richness because it doesn't control us anymore. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I find
And I think everything has I like the word managed as opposed to controlled.
Yes. Well, management, it seems like you're managing your life. You're in control. You're behind the wheel where you're taking everything into consideration and making good choices for yourself versus controlling exactly what you said.
Right. It almost feels like an acceptance as opposed to a force.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a level of acceptance saying, I am this sensitive, and now what do I do with it? How do I turn it to my advantage? Because I do find that a lot of times it is a disadvantage unless we do know how to manage it or negotiate it or be with it and have language to understand it and then to take action based on what's happening in our worlds right now. So, yeah, I thought we could kind of go there today, if that's all right.
It's absolutely okay. Now, we have callers. They're here already. Do you want to establish a theme, or would you like to just dive right in? I'm open to whatever you want to do.
Well, why don't we check in and see what conversations, if they're waiting for me, Sophia, what's going on, and then we'll kind of go from there.
I think that's a brilliant idea. Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to keep people waiting.
I agree totally. Area code 269, you're on the air with Christina and me.
Hi, my name is Karen, and I was privileged to hear the whole conversation before the show started.
That's right. You're on the phone. Okay. There you go. It's all wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I don't know what the theme is for the show. I heard you say something about Sophia, so I just want to know what Sophia has for me.
Okay. Yeah, so
okay.
It's Christina now, and it was Karen is your name?
Yes, my name is Karen. Do I need to tell you where I'm calling from?
You can tell me. So what I would ask, Karen, is one of the best ways to be with Sophia is actually to get more specific. So a lot of times people will ask for an open-ended question, and a lot of times she's going to say back that's a form of giving your power away, that you're giving her, like all the balls are in her court. So in some ways I would ask you, if you don't mind, I'm going to go into trance and bring Sophia in, but while I'm doing that, and Goldie, you're welcome to talk or anything like that, but while I'm doing that, to think about what area in your life would you like direction on? Because once you close it down, then she's going to answer you in a much more specific way, and you'll find her to be a little more helpful. I never give the open rein to Sophia because you never know where she's going to go.
Okay, and, that's great.
Yeah, and usually she says back, don't give me that type of rein. So, question, and what I'll do is I'll take a couple deep breaths, and then we'll get Sophia and see what she has to say, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Okay, ready? Wait, I got the perfect thing to bring this in. I'm just all about kudos. Yay! Don't mind me. You know, I'm a kid with an applause button. That's just dangerous.
I will take the applause. Hello, my friends. It is Sophia. Yeah. Good to be here. Hello, Goldie. Yes?
Hello, love.
All right. And hello, Karen. Lovely to be with you today.
Thank you very much.
Talk about? Go ahead.
My income. Do you see it growing any in the near future?
Ah, good. All right. So incoming money. So if we look at the word income, we have in first and open the door, come in. Yes, come in money. So right away, I am going to work with the word itself and to allow you to say, how open are you to allowing money into your life? So if we were to call money a character, right, call money a visitor, and a visitor knocks on your door, and we're unfamiliar with this visitor, do we let this visitor in? So how comfortable are you with income as a being that actually wants to have a conversation with you? Does this make sense? And if I'm confusing, I'll go back.
No, it sounds like great sense. I would open the door wide.
All right. So now remember, this is a stranger. So we're opening the door wide. We're sitting income down in front of you. And what's one of the first things we do when someone first comes into our home? What do we usually do as a courtesy?
We usually offer them a seat.
Exactly. A seat and maybe a beverage, right?
Right.
Okay. So what beverage would we offer to income? Right now, let's just say income is this. Now, what does income look like? Let's imagine income is coming into your world. Describe what income looks like. What does this person, is it a mass? Is it a man? Is it a woman? And what do they look like?
Well, to me, income, right away I thought man. Yeah. I thought a tall, nice-looking man, just nice in disposition. He doesn't have to really look beautiful or anything like that, but a nice-looking person.
Yes. Is he wearing a suit? What is he wearing?
Yeah, I believe he is wearing a suit, yes.
He is. Okay, and what type of drink would you offer to this type of man?
I would just offer him a cool, refreshing glass of water.
Lovely. So we offer some water. Okay, so let me ask, what is your profession? Where are you in the world? So where are your sources of income coming from at the moment?
Right now, I'm on disability, but I have other things that I do, but there's no money there. Not now.
All right. So what are the things you do? And where would you like income? In what field would you like income to come in?
Well, I'm a talk show host, but I do it for the church, so it's very limited income. And I'm also beginning to open up a business I had before making jewelry, so I'm going to start that over again.
All right, lovely. Okay, so we got a personality, right? A host, a public personality. So, hello, Goldie. You two can have a conversation back and forth afterwards about how do we earn income on being a personality. So that's a question I'm going to pose to you. How do I earn income on being a personality? You want to write that down and just begin to contemplate that. How do I earn income on being a personality? Because it's a really lovely line of thought for you to begin to open up, because you will see that there are opportunities even if it's through churches and through different local organizations, there are ways you can bring in income by being a personality. So just write that down, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Second, we're going to say that your image of income doesn't match the flow of income. So let's think of jewelry, right? Let's think of what type of women would be wearing your jewelry. What type of jewelry is it?
It's like a craft type of jewelry with beads, various colors, earrings, not real expensive, but affordable and looking nice.
Looking lovely. So it was a very well-dressed woman. So if we were going to match income with the business that you are interested, we need to change this man in a suit who's handsome into this lovely woman with a flowing skirt wearing your jewelry coming in, and we are now offering her, let's say, a mint julep, right?
Yes.
Do you see what I'm doing? So let me now get clear with you, okay? So what happens is when we think of income, usually we take on a masculine energy that has a suit attached to it. We take on a business modality. So what I want to say to you, my friend, is that how you produce incoming, an incoming flow, is you're a creative, vibrant woman that wants to promote being a creative, vibrant woman. That is both the ratio personality as well, yes, as this jewelry maker promoting adornment on the body. So what you do is you begin to match the images. Income, you turn into a being, a person, and start having a conversation with this woman versus this man, because this man is going to take a very different approach, and his approach is almost counterintuitive to your own approach. So what happens when we use the word income, we want to bring more income in, we usually bring a financial advisor to the table, and most of us need a creative muse instead. You see the difference?
Mm. Yes. As you're talking, I see myself promoting my own jewelry somewhere in my talk show, like in the beginning or the middle or wherever, and then I could promote myself at the same time.
Exactly, beloved. So what I'm going to tell you, how you bring income in your life, you open the door to the creative muse, because it is her that will bring you freedom. And when you feel free, feel this idea. On my radio show, I'm talking about jewelry adornment. I am speaking on what I love. That creative, that passion, that will translate. We output that, and then we allow the input of that to come in. We outflow it, and then the incoming comes in. Make sense?
Yes.
Now, go ahead.
Makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Good. So what I'm going to ask is that you pull out a really creative journal and you begin to say, I want to have a conversation with my diva muse, okay, my creative muse, and she is going to inform me on how to pursue money. Most women pursue money from a masculine perspective. Today I'm here to tell you, women, pursue money from the feminine perspective. And when you do that, you will find alternative ways to bring in money that we never even think of when we are so focused on the word income that is attached to a masculine perspective. Make sense?
Okay. Yes, makes sense.
Okay, so you have the creative realm to work in. That's tool number one, okay? I'm going to give you tool number two, okay? So we need to, let's say, ground you. So what I just did is ground you in the feminine, okay? And then this is where the masculine comes in. I'm going to tell you to get on the feet and pound the pavement. Pound the pavement in, I am ready to earn money. Anyone? I'm ready to earn money. Money, money, money. Pound the pavement in the walking shoes of I'm ready to earn money. And for the moment, any way of earning money, any way that brings money into your pocket is going to give you more confidence, which is going to give you more stability, which is going to let you have an even stronger relationship with your diva muse, with your playful, creative muse that's going to give you the bigger picture. However, the bigger picture only manifests when we put on the masculine shoes of practicality and say we need to bring in something through the door. So we got the feminine side, which says we are going to open up our creative realm, and then we got the masculine side, which says we are going to walk the practical realm. So today I'm saying become creative and become practical. And because, Cameron, you are so bubbly and beautiful, when you pound the pavement, it's going to come across differently than everyone else, because you have an optimism to you that even though that times are tough, jobs are hard to come by, when you walk in the door, most people, when they feel you, go, God, I'd like that person to work for me. How can I create a job for them? So in pounding the pavement, be you. Be the bright light you are, and you will find that money will come in, maybe not in the highest way you want it to come in, but as it comes in, you're going to gain confidence. And it's really about opening that inflow of money coming in. And as we do that, you can pursue these higher dreams and visions. Did I make sense?
Yep, that's just what I'm thinking. I've got to start somewhere.
Yes.
That's right.
Start on your feet and hear the words, pound the pavement. They are really practical words. Walk. Walk from shop to shop and talk. Walk and talk. Walk and talk. That's the answer to everyone who's looking to bring money in. Walk and talk. Get out there and walk into different establishments. Talk to people over and over again, and you will find that your positivity is infectious. And out of the blue, opportunities will come your way. Whether they're the highest opportunities or not, money is money these days, and we'll take it in, right?
Yes, I plan that. I plan on going to the beauty shops and different places like that and seeing if they would take it on consignment, and I know they will, so because it's not expensive. So, yes, it's lined up with what I've been thinking.
Good. So that's what I do. I reflect back what you already know because, isn't that funny that somehow I know that you've been thinking that? That's what guidance does. That's what our guides do, our angel guides, our friends on the other side. We reflect back that you know the right way, and we just give you the thumbs up. Go do it. Go do it, right?
Hello? Yeah. Sophia, may I add one thing, too?
Yes.
Karen, are you still with us? Karen?
That's all right. So she got
her phone. Her line is still, she's still showing up on my switchboard. So I'll just say what I was going to say, that, you know, when I go to Staples to get certain things printed, there is, right at the printing area, there's this display of these, I guess they're like homemade lollipops. And the reason why I was sharing this is don't think only inside the box of where is the jewelry appropriate, because a staple selling lollipops, you wouldn't think that, you know, that would kind of, you know, printing copies and lollipops. So you can also go into places that seem almost, you know, obscure, that also may very well say, sure, we would love to take your jewelry on consignment. I just wanted to add that.
Good. So
yeah.
Opportunities are everywhere. And opportunity doesn't always mean it's directly related to jewelry. It may be we need someone to file for a few days, and you're the type of energy we want in our office right now. Thank you. I'll take that filing job. I'll put that $100 in my pocket, which helps me print out flyers, which helps me advertise, which helps me pay right?
Exactly. I didn't even think of that. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So pounding the pavement, getting your sneakers on, walking out there in the world, talking, keeping a positive perspective and saying, I'm ready to work and bring money in. And I can do just about anything, because as women, we can do anything. Yes, men, you can do everything too, but we really need to claim our women power here today. As ladies,
yeah,
we can do anything, right?
Indeed. I hope.
All right.
Yes.
Good. So let's see who's the next caller, and we'll see. Is it me? Is it...
Oh, Sophia, I muted you. I apologize. Oh, maybe we did lose her. I see, because you came to the top. Okay. Well, it's archived, so if she did lose the connection, she can listen through the archives. And, yes, we actually have two more callers, so I'm just going to go in a straight line. Hi, area code 352. You're on with the Goddess Sophia.
Hello, Goddess Sophia.
Hello, my friend. Who's speaking right now?
This is Catherine. It's a privilege to speak with you. You have wonderful energy.
Well, Catherine, likewise. How can I be of service today?
Sophia, can you please tell me where my heart is pointed in the next short period of time?
Good. Well, I'm going to challenge you back, beloved, and say, where would you like your heart to be pointed in the next period of time?
I would like it to be with a gentleman named Scott. What do you think?
All right. Let's imagine, okay, let's imagine that your heart is open right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to reflect to you is you. Then we'll talk about Scott, okay? The starting point is when we have an open heart, that we open up lots of opportunities for ourselves. So right off the bat, I want to say to you, congratulations for opening that heart. Now, let's not attach an open heart to a particular name or face yet, okay? We'll move to Scott. We'll get there, I promise, okay?
Okay.
Step number one is, I have an open heart, right? So did you mind saying that back to me, Sophia? I have an open heart.
Sophia, guess what? I have an open heart.
Oh, it feels so lovely. Okay, now, as we feel that open heart, what I want you to do is embody that heart. So that open heart, let's think about hearts. Let's think about Valentine's Day. We think about the color red, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would like you to do right now is say that with my open heart, I know it's focused on a man right now, but I want to redirect it back to myself. I want to look in the mirror and see an image of my open heart. So number one tool for you is to maybe incorporate some red in your wardrobe, whether it be a red lipstick, whether that be a red undergarment, whether that be a pair of red shoes, okay? Because red is that passion that I feel that you are awakening right now. Does this make sense?
Yes.
When you embrace that for yourself and you don't look to another to reflect that back to you, that's when we give Scott the greatest opportunity to actually see what a va-voom, yummy, delicious woman that you actually are. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, so tool number one, embody your passion, embody your open heart. Tool number two, in regards to Scott, what happens with men who feel women like yourself with open hearts, when they're pouring in one direction at him, most men are not used to direct emotional energy coming directly at them. Let's remember this. What they're used to directly coming at them is more of a masculine. So think of men and direct on one-on-one, that's usually a warring modality. So when a man feels energy coming his way directly, an instinct, a masculine instinct of defend myself arises. Am I making sense? Well, this is brilliance, my friends. Everyone listening and taking notes. So feel that. Let me say that again. When men feel a direct, right, energy coming directly at them, they associate that a little bit with man on man equals war. Does that make sense?
Interesting.
Interesting. Ah, ladies, we get to come from the back door, not straight on, right? So what we do is instead of taking that energy that I so know, women want to share their hearts. They want to pour it out and want to give it to you directly. Here's my heart. I'm ripping it out of my chest and I'm giving it to you directly, right? This is the feminine way. Yet that's not the masculine way. So what we do is we take that heart that you're so willing to give and we put you in front of a mirror. and you give that back to yourself, that direct energy you want to give to another, you stand in front of a mirror and let that energy flow back onto yourself. And then in regards to Scott, you then say, okay, I understand that men, when I am really direct, when I really open my heart, they panic. They bring up the shields. So instead of that, I'm going to come to the side. I'm going to come off to the side. And I am going to take my heart, split into many pieces, and share to him the different aspects of my heart. Women tend to give all at once, where men do much better when we give a little and eventually get to the all, but we give it a little at a time. Make sense to you?
It does.
So how do you feel about this? I didn't exactly answer your question. I'll get there. But for the moment, how do you feel about my description?
I think that's a way I've never looked at it before, but I can see how that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so Goldie,
That's called fishing, Sophia, and throwing out your line and luring them in a little at a time.
Well, yes and no, right? There's a little bit of that going on. That is about actually understanding the nature of the person you're with. So it is really about saying that this person, instead of enjoying the full pie, right? So let's say masculine really likes to get pieces, breadcrumbs. They like to be led with breadcrumbs, okay? And it's to really see that we're not luring them in. We are actually giving to them what they have the capacity to receive. Men like to receive little morsels at a time. So when we understand that, we don't ask them to receive in the ways in which we want to receive. We want to have the full pie all at once. Give me the full pie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't ask them to be what we want. We allow them to be what they are, which are beings that have been taught to hide aspects of themselves. They have been taught to compartmentalize, right? So they have been taught little segments. That is how they have grown up. So what we do is we see that in them, and instead of trying to change that, we honor that. And we know that once they get little pieces, then they feel safe enough. And before you know it, their hearts are open, they're ready for the full pie. Because really, they don't like to be all pieced out, right? Just like as women, we don't like to put our hearts, we do it because that's our nature. But sometimes we wish we could hold back, right? So that we wish for the quality that the other sex actually has. So when we understand that, we can offer ourselves in a way that is a naturally easy way for Scott to embrace you. Because the way you want to share yourself is not the easiest way for him to get to know you. So in the prediction modality, which I don't do, by the way, but today we have a special occasion, okay? I will give you a slight form of prediction, okay? And I say slight because that's not what we do here. We have open heart conversations and we give you the power to create your own destiny, your own future. But in this conversation, I'm going to say to you, beloved, that you have an opportunity to go slow here and see that this man wants to be able to embrace the totality of you. He doesn't necessarily have the skills at the moment. So that if we give him time and space, there is a good probability that he will open his heart to you if we give him the space that he needs. Does that make sense?
It does. I feel like she should get some more applause for that answer.
Oh, I'm thinking the same thing, so I'm doing it.
Thank you.
Right on, girlfriend. I agree.
That's a lovely conversation. And really, this is a great archive because this is a question that gets asked over and over again on intuitive shows, which is, how do I create this heart-based connection, and am I going to get married, am I going to, and it's masculine almost versus feminine, and we want to shift that. We want masculine to understand feminine to understand masculine, and because we have our hearts already on our sleeves, we have the greatest probability to understand them first, and as we understand them, and they feel safe, then they will open their arms to understand us.
It's beautiful.
Got it. Lovely. Thank you so much for calling in today, my friend.
Thank you, Sophia. Can I ask one more question that has nothing whatsoever to do with this, but I'm so curious of?
Go right ahead.
As a being, where are you from?
Oh, it's a lovely question. All right, it's a complicated question, but I will answer in that I am from all things. So let's say Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom, and wisdom is a compilation of things, right? So we don't become wise overnight. We become wise through time. So you could call me the timekeeper. You could call me the one who has been watching all of you since the beginning of time. You could call me the best friend of humanity, okay? For my role is to be with each and every one of you. So those footprints in the sand, right? That story, when we see the footprints in the sand, where is God? Oh, God is carrying you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I am also the footprints in the sand that are not seen, okay? So there is God carrying you. There is me standing next to him, whispering words that are saying, hello, friend, isn't that lovely to be carried? I am the vocal one, okay? I am the one that walks with humanity since the beginning of time. So I come across very human, right?
Mm-hmm. You do.
Well, if I am best
friend, that's how
we
would be able to understand you.
Exactly. You can begin to see me as the person. And you could call me a person, a guide that has been with you since the moment of conception. Yes, for I have walked with each and every one of you. Each and every one of you are my really great friend. So as we have a conversation, you see that I come across as a friend and a guide, because that's how we evolve here. We do not put divine on a pedestal. We stand next to the divine. We feel that we too are divine, and that's the lesson I bring, that we are best friends, as well as I am a guide of yours. So that relationship really works out because it develops trust in yourself, and that is my goal, to help you trust yourself. Make sense?
Perfect.
Thank you for that question. It was a lovely question.
Thank you for your time and your gifts and your energy, and you too have a lovely evening.
Number Thank six. You. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Wow, that was beautiful. Okay. Next caller. The callers are lining up, so it just appears we're going to keep going. Area code 408, you're on the air with Goddess Sophia.
Hello.
Hello, my
friend. Hi.
Hi.
You know what? That's so strange. I didn't even push one. I was just listening. I was doing my...
You did. You're right. I'm sorry. You're just... you're open to share if you want, or I can allow you to just listen. I apologize. I just see numbers and...
Well, I know Sophia, so I don't think it was a coincidence, because I actually was planning on calling. I mean, planning on pushing the one button so that I could speak with you. So, hi, Sophia. Hi, Goldie. This is Danielle.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, Danielle. Yes. Okay.
No,
how are you?
Incidents, yes?
Yes. I know you, Sophia, so.
Yes. Good. What's going on? How can we be of help today, and how can you be a help to everyone listening? Because we know that Danielle is a channel, so she also offers us her services, as do every caller that calls in, offer their services, and their questions are very meaningful. What's on your mind, Danielle?
To tell you the truth, Sophia, I really would love to ask you if, as a channel, and I'm coming against some young channels around my age out there, and it feels very reassuring, but I want to ask you, are we to be preparing for some massive goings on the planet, or should we continue visioning our lives on a normal trajectory that we can imagine for ourselves?
Good, good, because what you're tapping into is a lot of those that are awakening, so this is a question for a lot of those young ones like yourself that are awakening to collective energies. For channels,
yes.
have the ability to translate collective energy. So a lot of the young ones are saying to you, something is coming.
Yeah.
I better get ready, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that. Yet in our training, when we focus too much on what's coming, we forget to be present in the now moment. So
yes.
What I would say to all of those in training, and I would say just about everyone listening right now is in training. They are training their intuitive skills. They are fine-tuning their abilities. And I would say that what's most important is for you to really feel comfortable and safe right now. So that one of the greatest things we can promote in the intuitive realms is, how do I find safety? I feel big things coming, but how do I, me, as an individual, feel safe? Because when those big things come, whatever they may be, right, changes on our planet, changes in consciousness, I want to be able to be balanced. And the only way we can stay balanced if we practice balance.
Right.
So right now, things are building up. Things are really intense. So what we do is say, I'm feeling a lot. How do I train this? I'm feeling a lot. How do I work with this ability? And how do I find safety and feel in balance? Because the more I feel in balance, even though crazy stuff is happening, so what channels and intuitives do, we embody craziness at times, right? So we get into random car accidents. We break off foot. We bump and stumble over things, right?
Yes.
We have a nervous breakdown in front of five of our closest friends, right?
Oh, I got my hand raised high on that one.
Yes, I understand, Sophia. Keep going.
Yes, the path of being sensitive is we bring through collective emotional energy. We channel, whether it's actually channeling like Christina is doing, or whether it's just having that breakdown because people around us are having a breakdown, we bring through big things. So what we want to do is understand that that's purposeful, that's meaningful, and what do we do with that? So we break our foot and we say, oh, hold on, which foot did I break? We understand it as a message, and we understand that we eventually can control or manage. Manage is a much better word than control, but there is a form of controlling how much you are bringing through your body, bringing through your mind, bringing through your emotions, that we want to be able to dial to collective emotions. But really what we're here to do is dial into our own emotions, dial into our own truth, dialing into our own wisdom. So the answer to the question is that as we feel these big things happening, that's collective shifts and changes. Right now, Danielle, you are already in your awakening. You are already in that transformation. So that future thing that's going was going to happen for everyone else is already happening to you. So really the concern is take care of self.
Right.
And taking care of self and understanding my craziness is a part of me being sensitive. And what does it mean? And how do I manage it? You ready? How do I manage it? You be around people who have already learned to manage it. That's why we have Christina on the show today. We will bring her back after this phone call because it's really important to hear her talk about managing sensitivity, because unless you manage it, it then controls your life, right? And everything falls out of control because, let's say, collective consciousness is moving towards an awakening, and awakening is always a little bit out of control. It's a little bit chaotic. It's a little bit blowing open things that have previously been closed.
Yeah. Sophia, as a person who's awakened or in a state of awakening, I don't, maybe this is naive, but I don't feel the need to go through a massive chaotic event in order to wake up.
Exactly. And you don't have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you're feeling is some people will.
Right.
So what you're feeling and this is what all the young ones around you are feeling,
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugly out there, and maybe I should do something about it. You know what? Mm. All you have to do is say, I don't choose that. I don't need to do it dramatically. It's dramatic mm-hmm. enough to stop
yes.
to feel all the things I'm feeling, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what we realize is that what happens in awakening is we're going from I to we, I to we, I to we, back and forth. We're trying to distinguish what is I, what
mm-hmm.
is you, what is we,
right?
And so
right.
the we you're talking about is that there are going to be some dramatic shifts, and some people are going to do it really, really hard because they're really, really asleep. So it's like
yeah.
having to really splash water on someone, right? Really shake them hard to awaken them. Yeah, you're already partially awake. You're already awake, so no one needs to slap you awake. No one needs to dunk your head in water, right?
Right. Just sprinkle a little bit of water is fine. I don't need the whole dunking.
You don't
process.
Need the bucket, right? You don't need the dunking in the lake, right?
Yeah.
But let's not judge those that actually need the dunkings in the lake. Let's not judge those that need the slaps.
Yes.
That's okay. They're there for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. So let's really talk about one of the things that you're bringing to the table is how do I help those like me manage
mm-hmm.
what we feel is coming for others? And the answer to
right.
that is how we manage it is first we begin to trust it. We say it's all purposeful, but we pull ourselves out of that. We don't get in that snowball energy. We don't say we're going to have to go through that. We move away from the collective into the
mm-hmm.
individual I and shut that down a little to say that it's really important that my time now be peaceful.
Right.
Good.
Thank
my
you.
Time now be peaceful. So that's dialing down, right? That's taking
yeah.
the dial that's completely open to volume at 10 and dialing it down. You want to dial down the collective to a 1 or a 2 so that you have the ability to hear your own wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Make
Thank
sense?
You. It makes perfect sense.
Good.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Great question. So what I'm going to do, Danielle, hold on, and you maybe talk to Goldie for a second, but I'm going to bring Christina back because I feel that she has really important things to say, and you and Christina have had lots of conversations on managing being a sensitive, being a channel in training, right?
Yes.
All right, beloved, thank you for calling in today, yes?
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Peace.
Yeah, Danielle, stay on the line. Stay with us,
okay.
please. You're.
I will.
Yeah, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. I love it. Goddesses, man. Women, forget it, not even just etherically, physically, women supporting each other. This is truly, for me, literally today, touching me deeply.
Yeah.
I love this. And please, Danielle, plug your show. Plug the information.
Yes, please.
I want you to. I want you to, please.
Well, I'm also on Blog Talk Radio, and they can search for Indigo Wisdom Radio.
Indigo Wisdom. There you go. Well, what nights are you on, and what's your time zone and or your time frame?
Well, right now I'm kind of like hibernating, Goldie. I actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just moved, so once the energies start vamping up again, I'm going to revamp the show. But my archives are there, and I'm doing a new website. I mean. Sophia
okay. No, I honor
around.
That. I took 9 months off.
Yes.
Because that's what life handed me. So that's what, you know, when it gives you lemons, you make lemonade. I totally get that. Totally.
And 9 months is like the proverbial incubation stage, like to give birth to something new. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and it was so funny too, because and Christina, as soon as you're back, I you know, we'll
I'm
curb
here,
the conversation.
Okay.
Hey!
I'm listening. I'm here.
Yeah, well, the only thing I was going to say is it was interesting because when I left what they call terrestrial radio, which was a radio station that I was working with out of Providence, Rhode Island, I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, and then, you know, Blog Talk Radio came onto my screen, and initially I was like thinking, quote, unquote, it was a step down, you know,
yes.
from a quote, unquote, a real, and I'm, you know, doing the quotes with my finger, a real radio station to Blog Talk Radio. And I will tell you, my audience hands down, in the last year, I was at the terrestrial radio for 4 years. In the last year on Blog Talk Radio, over 10,000 people have listened to my show. I know, hands down, I would have never hit that number in Providence. I know I wouldn't have. So I tell everybody, that, you know, it might look, quote unquote, and from the third dimension, like Carolyn Mace has a wonderful way of saying, big things look small, small things are truly big. Blog Talk Radio was an amazing gift for anybody who wants to share their voice and their message. It's an amazing gift. Amazing. So I just had to share that.
Okay. Sophia through Christina Beck.
Yes, I'm back. So, yeah, I thought I would throw out. So let me go back, Danielle. Your question was about focusing on the future in terms of what's coming versus now. Is that kind of where we started?
Yes, I asked her if, as intuitives and channels, is there something that we should be concerned about in terms of, like, should we be visioning to prepare for this thing that's happening, or should we continue to vision in our normal lives, like, okay, I'd like to accomplish my business goals, I'd like to accomplish my relationship goals. Like,
right.
It doesn't feel like we're on a normal trajectory, even though I would like to continue on my normal goals.
Right. I think it's a great question, and I think that as you open to the intuitive world, a lot of it is actually being able to feel and sense the future, and I think one of the most practical things I can share with everyone is that is shared with you in order for you to find peace and balance now. So that, let's say that I have like a worry about a friend of mine. I have a sense, oh, they're in a relationship, and I know in 2 years it's not going to go well, right? So
a lot
of us have this stuff happen to us all the time. We're at a wedding, and we know they're going to get divorced, right?
Yes.
And it's not about us intervening now or us trying to change anything now. It's about us having comfort with
mm-hmm.
possibly knowing that could unfold that way, but trusting it. So usually when you see the future, it's a version of giving you the opportunity to trust in that future, whether it unfolds exactly that way or not. It's the ability to say, I will be safe, all the players will be safe, because life unfolds in a way that's really for all of our highest good. So seeing
right.
the future is always a test. It's always like, are you going to flip out and panic? And that's what most of us do, right? We go, oh my God, and we start doing things. And so what I say is, anytime that you get future inclinations, it's to show you where you are in an anxiety level in regards
mm-hmm.
to things showing up in your life now or possibly in the future, and what do you do with that anxiety? How do you ground
mm-hmm.
it, and how do you feel in the name or in facing anxiety, how do you be present with it? So it's giving you
mm-hmm.
an opportunity to, it's like a practice run, right?
Yeah. Mm. Christina.
Yeah?
I'm sorry.
What?
Christina, how do you balance when you get the intuitive hit? And should you follow the as opposed to the anxiety, let's say the anxiety is not that high, but you get this strong sense of creative action.
Right.
But it still sounds crazy, like what you should do,
right.
as opposed to your normal trajectory of goals, which might have been based on maybe an old, out-of-date timeline.
So it's a great question, and it's complicated. So a lot of times, so when we're going future, a lot of times you're going to also feel, so this desire to take action, you got to really begin to ask the question, am I seeing the future for me or for someone else? And am I being motivated to take action? So a lot of times, as someone that's intuitive, I will start doing things that's actually based for someone else's greater good. So I'll make phone calls. I will feel obsessed on this path, and I eventually realize, oh, a good friend of mine was in trouble, and that, you know, I was preparing for them being in trouble, yet that that me following that path now, I've actually ignored 5 things in my personal, professional, and every mm-hmm. other life that I could have been improving myself on, and trusting that when that friend needed me, they're going to pick up the phone and actually call me, versus me knowing 3 weeks ahead of time and doing all this craziness. So I think the answer to that question is, when you get a hit to pursue something, you want to start asking for evidence. You want to start asking, I feel compelled to go in this direction now. Is this for me? Is this good for me? And wait for evidence, because it will either give you yeses or noes. If you start seeing sirens everywhere, if you start tripping over things, because eventually, as an intuitive, you're going to trip over the information, oh, shoot, this wasn't mine, right? So if you ask for it right away and you wait for it, you will find almost always that you get it.
Okay.
So that being compelled to do something, one of the greatest management tools is to halt yourself, is to stop for a moment and then look around and go, okay, hold on, let me breathe, let me see what's going on, and try and discern what's really happening.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. No, well, I love doing this because this is what my life has been, you know, pursuing, you know, following future lines of thought, or being obsessed with a project and then realizing, oh, God, that had to do with my sister. That had to do with so-and-so. And, like, banging my head against the wall. So, yeah, I'm happy. Yeah. It's one of the things that, as an intuitive, there's a lot to figure out, and so it takes time, and time is the key factor. So if you're feeling rushed, usually that's a symbol. Usually that's your indication that, you know, that your soul doesn't want to be rushed, right?
Yeah.
Right? So rushing is usually some form of distrust, and a lot of times it's going to have to do with someone else. Because, I mean, of course, people benefit from all of those pieces that I'm prepared for my friend breaking up with their boyfriend, but do I really need to be prepared? No.
Right. Good point.
You know, like, God, that day I could, like, you know, hand the tissues over. I don't have to have the tissues in my closet already, or 5 boxes of them. Like,
oh, my God, that's such a good, that's a good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I think as intuitives, we're actually a lot of time taking action for other people. So once we realize that, you can say, do I need to be doing that? And how much am I even helping? And if I'm helping, am I deterring my own life? Is it taking away from my own life? And a lot of times the answer is yes, it is taking away from your own life.
So you've
got to come back to self again. So it's that crazy thing of what Sophia was saying, I, you, we, and beginning to really discern between the three.
Right.
Cool.
Woo-hoo. I kind of randomly ended up in the conversation.
I know. Well, thank you.
Exactly. It was divine. These are questions that are, you know, I always say whatever's coming out, whether from a caller or me and Sophia or me and Christina, it's because somebody's really, you know, somebody's creating this that they want to hear this answer. So I honor all of it. But I would like to give a shout out directly to you. Danielle, you touched me deeply tonight on Facebook. Deeply. And now I get the chance to say thank you to you, you know, as in person as we're going to get. You and Kelly promoting the show on your page brought me to tears. I mean, I literally just, and then when I went to Christina's and saw her, I mean, it was like, you know, within this short period of Facebook, you know, wall, there were 3 people promoting the show. I felt so deeply loved. I mean, I feel it right now. I just started crying, like a deep release of, wow, you know, there is such a genuine amount of love on the planet right now, because I know for a fact when women are supporting women, heaven is on earth.
And
that is, you know, that was the confirmation that me, you, Kelly, Christina, it's like, look at all of us. It's not just about my show. It's about, there was a collective energy about everybody just wanting to share, you know, the goodness of what we speak of. I mean, it was, and so, you know, clicking on your number, not knowing it's you, you know, of course, that's just all in the divine flow of, I am that I am. And I am genuinely honored to have you on my show tonight. Always. Always.
Thank you. And I do genuinely love you, so I'm glad that you got that feeling.
Thank you. I did. I felt it. I mean, it was just one of those moments. You know, we have a lot going on the planet where we're feeling, you know, the kicks from oil spills and other, you know, kooky, crazy, dark side stuff. But, you know, there is hands down kicks of heart and awareness and genuine community of let's all just help each other up. Not kick each other down, but help each other up. And I resonate so deeply with that. I really do. So thank you.
Rocks.
Genuinely.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's all cry tonight. Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm gonna go, but thank you so much, Christina, and
thank you,
Sophia, and thanks, Goldie. I'll be listening still.
Oh, outstanding, Danielle. Thank you for calling in. Thank you. Love you, babe. Love you.
Love you guys. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye now. Whew. Okay, we do still have another caller, and we're gonna get to you. Hang on. His or her hand is up. You want to keep talking about the sensitivity?
Yeah, well, I think, I'll just give a little piece about it. And I think it's actually going to touch upon what you just said, Goldie, which I think that, you know, as sensitives, a lot of times we feel that what Sophia would, so yin-yang, yin being dark, yang being light, that because yin tends to be loud, so let's say the oil spill is extremely loud, I think one of the things that I have learned is how to, because as a being who is concerned for the world, we naturally turn towards that loudness and we get focused on it and want to heal it and fix it, where I imagine that actually what is being called to us or what we have the opportunity to do is say, if there is this loud oil spill, there's equal, because everything is equal. Yin and yang is actually always equal. That there is an equal amount of something profoundly wonderful happening, that if I can take my consciousness away for a moment from the oil spill, focus on the thing that is yang, that is equally as profound on the light side than the dark side, that I actually naturally balance it, and from that balanced place, I have wisdom to share on both sides, the yin side, the dark side, the oil spill, where I'm not compelled to fix it, and I am distraught and crazy as an intuitive because I feel it so bad. I'm not sucked into it anymore because I have found that polar opposite thing that balances me. So I think when I hear you talk tonight about being profoundly touched by the love, I think that is the equaling out of the oil spill. That is equaling out of, you know, whatever shadow is happening, that we're finding ways to focus on the light that's also equally happening and equally as profound.
Absolutely. My friend. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that has been a huge thing, and that's a big Sophia teaching for all intuitives right now, is that she talked about coming out of, you know, the first decade of the 2000s going into 2010 as, let's say, those first 10 years, 2000 to 2010, as being a time of yin for a lot of sensitives, so a time of dealing with our shadow. And that starting in 2010 was our equal opportunity to feel yang, so to feel the light.
Right on for that. I am very much ready for that.
Totally. And I find it's actually a challenge for me to say, okay, because let's say in a room, I walk into a room and I immediately know, let's say, the negative person in the room. It's been a challenge for me to say, well, who's the opposite of that person in the room? And you actually have to almost like turn your body away.
right.
Person. And instead of trying to fix the negative person, because as a diplomat and as someone that tends to do stuff like that, I would go over and try and make that person laugh, et cetera, et cetera. That the easiest way is actually turn my back to that negative person and look for the opposite of him or her, which then balances the energy. And then Christina is free. I no longer feel compelled to do something in a crowd, and I can finally be, if that makes sense.
Well, and I think that is the wounded healer in and healed modality.
Yes, exactly. So
yes.
When people are saying, I'm feeling pulled and compelled, I'm like, well, that's part of intuition. And how do you understand what's going on and learn to manage it? Because it's kind of difficult to be pulled all the time. And I'm someone that knows that really, really well, because that's what I've been working with for the last 12 years, of feeling pulled energy. Because as a channel, I'm bringing through energy. So, you know, I'm tied into energy. So
yeah.
Finally said, how do I not be pulled? How can I just sit still and allow the room to be whatever it is, you know, that I don't have to shift it or lift it? Because I really do think as sensitives, we're always trying to lift it. And I don't know that that's our job anymore. I think our job is to be balanced.
Right on. Speak it. Yes, I agree. Because, you know, there is divinity in the darkness.
Exactly.
And the heaviness. And absolutely. Especially because what I have come to realize is, and I'm in the exact same boat as you, I have come to realize that for myself, when I was in my darkest hour, simultaneously, I was as embraced by my essence as I ever could be. And because what I'm like, for me, I'm recognizing I can't save somebody from themselves. I can only help introduce them to themselves.
Right?
Because who would want to be saved from self?
Right?
We want to understand, you know, if I am creating a polarized experience by thinking polarized thoughts, by judgments, by whatever, well, then it's up for me to know the essence in me that knows that there's all divinity. It's not, if someone comes and saves me, I don't know myself as that savior. I know outside myself as that savior. And there is no outside that self.
Right.
It's only self as savior. And it's like when you look at it that way, you go, oh, my God, I mean, I can look at things like exactly like what Sophia said and you were saying about the oil. You know, the oil is bringing tremendous awareness to the planet. And from an essence point of view, that is tremendous awareness of self. Because there is no defining, there's no separation between us and the planet in essence language.
Right? Totally.
So it's bringing up that we have indeed done some pretty crappy things to self. We have treated ourselves badly. I mean, God knows, I know I've done, and this is not a judgment of anybody else. This is from my own awakening perspective. You know, I smoked cigarettes. I did tons of drugs. I just did not, quote unquote, take care of my temple, my body. Because I wasn't there. That wasn't what I knew to do. I didn't know my essence. I only knew the pain and wanting to get rid of the pain. And as I get to know myself, it's like the pain literally morphs into insights. The pain morphs into compassion. The pain morphs into where I once lived in hell, I'm finding myself in heaven.
Right. Well, we can't. I mean, I really love that embracing of the polar opposites, and that we can't know heaven until we know hell, that we don't know anything until we know the opposite. So, you know, we have to not be nice to ourselves so that we can appreciate being nice to ourselves. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. And I think that, you know, working with the poles is really powerful in that you see them as a way to understand the opposite. So the light helps you understand the dark. The dark helps you understand the light. And that those together are extremely valuable, so that whether we're in balance, whether we're right or left, all of those places are valuable. That
absolutely.
Left, we don't know right. Without right, we don't know left. Without either of those, we don't know what it is to be in the middle. So
exactly. You know, and I want to just say that I have spoken to, you know, several people over my 6 years or 5 years on the air. Often when people talk about it would take them years and years to get sick, quote unquote, to get some sort of disease, whether it was cancer or tumors or whatever the disease was. And when they had their awakening, in literally the twinkling of an eye, the whole body would be restored, literally restored to a pristine state by almost miraculous, you know, there's no describing it. It was spontaneous. And when I hear that again, if that happens to the physical body, when we go through, you know, when we have our tipping point of in this awakening, which is happening now, the planet will heal because life force will flow through that which it's not flowing through right now and literally create a healthy environment for everyone, for the animals, for the plants, for the environment, the air, the water, you know. And, you know, if you speak to somebody who's not necessarily on a conscious path, you know, they're like, you know, you're just a Pollyanna. You know, that's not the way. And I'm like, you know, I wish I could say that it's Pollyanna, but I have had my own miraculous healings.
Right.
That, you know, I'm living proof. I my lungs are clear. You know, I smoked for 35 years. You know, I'm only 45 years old, for God's sakes. You know, it's like I'm healthy. I've seen things like my gums heal. When dentist goes, you can't grow gums. I did.
Well, yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
Why not?
Well,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, there's evidence that real healing is possible. That the possibility for the earth to be clear and clean and in harmony with all of us is there. And I think, you know, that's a great thing for us to all remember and to focus on. And I hate to offer the opposite side, but I will, because that's what I do.
Please, no, of course.
And even if it doesn't, even if we destroy ourselves, it's only a version of reality. There's no such thing as destroying ourselves. I mean,
I love that version. Bring that on. Yes.
You know, we totally like bust open and we destroy ourselves. There's no such thing. I mean, I've had contact with the other side. I have enough experience to know that even if things go disastrous here, it's not the end of the world, in that there are other worlds, there are other universes, and that there's no such thing as the end, that we're always in this process of evolution. So, yay, we can all say that this earth is going to evolve, and as humans, we're going to evolve, and if we don't, oh well, we'll evolve somewhere else. We'll do it.
Exactly. Wow, Christina, I know that is a what, even in the light workers world, so to speak, that is a antagonistic point of view.
Yeah, it's
but it's one
dramatic.
I support it though, complete, because we, you know, when people are like, when they send out the healings on the emails and they're like, you know, pray for them to get better, and I always say pray for them to awaken. And that awakening can happen through a deathbed. If that's how they're choosing it, I just hope that they awaken. Life and the quantity of years lived is not my concern anymore.
Right.
It's not. I honor that.
Once I think get to that essence where you know that, you know, this body is a temporary housing place for the soul, and that the soul continues to evolve and move and change, and that we're in this ever, never-ending cycle of evolving, all of the fear starts to diminish, because you start realizing, okay, the worst-case scenario is never, there's no such thing as the worst-case scenario. There's always another scenario. There's always another opportunity to awaken. You're never lost. It just seems that you're lost, but you're never actually lost. So, you know, I think after years of spending time with Sophia and working on this, you start to realize that whatever's going on in the world is purposeful, and that we can see the healings, we can intend for it, and if they don't happen, we can say, okay, well, it will happen another time, another way.
Exactly. Well, and you know what I've noticed, again, from a personal standpoint, it was almost like what Sophia was saying with the woman, the caller about the boyfriend Scott, or the gentleman she was seeing, Scott. You know, when we chase, and I this is strictly from experience, and I'll even use it through the IM. When I would chase people, they would run away. And I say that because there's so many things that we go the opposite, where when you said, find the passion in yourself, it's like, I am genuinely learning that, you know, if I have plans with somebody and the plans get changed, as God knows how often they do, especially in this energy, instead of being upset that I'm not getting what I want because I'm not getting to see a person, I'm not going someplace, I immediately go to, am I enough right now to be for myself? Can you be there for yourself, Goldie? So
right.
What do you want to do? Do you want to go get ice cream? Go get ice cream.
Right.
Do you want to, you know, meditate? In other words, it's really about, for me, constantly bringing it back with to self.
Right.
And then finding self to be everything I wanted the soulmate to be, everything I wanted my best friend to be, everything I wanted, you know, the employer, you know, my boss to be, some, you know, give it to self. Because when we can give it to self, sovereignty, in my personal opinion, is the panacea for, and it doesn't matter, sovereignty through death, sovereignty through life, it's just about the, you know, the knowingness that I'm my creator, I'm my experience, and I'm the source of all of it. And I'm not talking about the me in the body. I am talking about the me that is timeless and spaceless and
right.
And eternal.
Exactly.
You know?
Right off of that philosophy of we continue, we go on, that this is just a temporary, this is just a moment. You know, there's another
exactly.
moment. There's always going to be another moment. So I totally hear you. And I'm just feeling our caller. Are they still there? I was like, oh,
no,
yeah.
They left. Yeah, they hung up.
I went, oh, no. I looked down and went, God, we've been going off on a tangent. I'm sorry, caller. Please call back.
Indeed, we're here. We got another 49 minutes. Oh, okay, somebody just called. So,
okay.
I'm assuming they're going to want to talk to Sophia, but I don't know. Here, let's just bring them on because you don't take long to. Okay. Hi, area code 765. You're on the air.
Namaste. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you doing? What's going on?
Hey, Goldie. How you doing? Hey, Christina. Is this Christina?
This is Christina. Yeah, who's speaking?
This is Brian from Indiana. How are you, dear?
I'm good. How are you, Brian?
Pretty good. I think this is the first time I've actually talked to you instead of Sophia.
Well, great. I know. I get my time in now. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think it was divine timing.
Yes.
Well,
what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say kudos to you and John for a wonderful presentation that you bring to this planet.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Because
and thank you for the shout out to my husband.
Yes, and for the dynamic dual that you are, it really does take two, the masculine and the feminine, and how you bring that through, you know.
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly right. He's the reason that I'm actually out here. My first instinct was to hide, to be honest with you. So thank you.
Yeah, I can feel that. I sense that in you. But you, I don't know, it's just the energy. I'd put it this way. Sophia picked a wonderful woman to come through.
Thank you. I totally appreciate that. Thank you. It's been a big thank you for that because it's been a very big deal. You can imagine that it's intimidating at times to hold the floor with Sophia, right? It's hard to say that let me hold the stage with her. So it's been actually it's been about a, you know, 8 to 10 year journey of me saying, no, she chose me for a reason, that my personality is aligned with hers and that I give her, you know, access to things that maybe other people wouldn't. That, you know, Sophia, if you've spent time with Sophia, she uses colorful language. If you've actually ever seen me channel with her, she moves my body colorfully. So, you know, there's a part of me that definitely is aligned with that energy. So thank you. I really appreciate it. It's taken me a long time to say, yes, I can hold the stage with her. So thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Well, Christine, you, another thing, you've inspired me to go down that path also.
It's
a process that I chose to take my time. And
right.
I know for you also, it took a lot of time, a lot of devotion, dedication. And I know with what you bring through is a great responsibility. I can imagine.
Yeah, well, I think that's really
yeah.
part of the journey, and that's what also encouraged me to come forward, is to say
yeah.
that it's not all like peaches and cream all the time. So,
right.
coming forward and speaking about the challenges, the fears, how to manage it, I really appreciate you sharing this on air, because I find this often that I'm getting emails left, right, and center that, you know, as I started my insight and my own blog, people saying, oh, it's so valuable to hear what you're going through as the person, you know, who is trusting and allowing Sophia's voice to come through. So I very much appreciate that, because I think a lot of times we want to stand up and say it's all wonderful and it's all tasty and yummy. You know, it's hard. I'm happy to be the voice of reason sometimes, and the voice of God. This stuff has been difficult, but I'm grateful to be able to do it. So, thank you.
Yes, I had a question for Sophia though. Also.
Okay, great. Yeah, give you and Goldie chat for a second, and she'll be right with us.
So,
well,
Brian,
Goldie,
tell me. Tell me about your channeling. You have an experience you want to share?
Mine is pushing me, nudging me to write, but I'm the biggest procrastinator. I guess being a male that I am, it seems like really letting go and trusting is my biggest thing. If it comes to me, but, you know, I hear people say, Brian, powerful voice, but at the same time, for me to believe that, I mean, I love the feedback, getting it, and it's given me the confidence. But it, then again, it's like I don't realize maybe that's my gift. I'm not supposed to fully know it, because if I did, maybe my ego would get in the way. You know what I mean? It's finding the balance within myself that I can share with myself first and love myself completely. That's the biggest thing, is really feeling strong and vulnerable within myself first.
And absolutely.
I can share that with the rest of the world. Yes.
I concur. I concur. Definitely.
Hello, Sophia. Namaste,
yes.
Dear one. Yes.
Hello. And let me speak on that right away. I want to say it is not procrastination, my friend. It's protection. So let's.
Yes, you can sense that.
You just said,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is, I want to love myself and feel secure, right? To trust.
Yeah.
And how you get that, what you're calling procrastination, is a self-protection modality that's there for a reason. So we're going to cancel clear. We're going to take back that word of procrastination, okay?
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's judgmental. It says bad too. Instead of that, Brian, I want to say, yay me. I have been on hold for a reason. I am in pause. Because I am waiting to learn, to remember the skills that I need to feel safe. So what looks like procrastination is self-protection. Right? So every time you say, I'm lazy, procrastination, should, I want you to say, wait. No, I'm holding back so that I remember a skill. There's something that's supposed to come first. That's why I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that to come first, okay?
Yes, yes.
All right, so ready for that thing that's supposed to come first? The thing that's attached to what you're calling procrastination, that's actually self-protection?
Yes.
Okay, so that piece is, how do I channel in a way that I focus on energies that are going to bring my body into health, into alignment, and they're not going to stretch me too far. The natural path of a channel is that they jump off the ledge and go, and start making that parachute as they go down, right?
Yeah. It's intimidating, yeah.
Yes, and as a man, that's a very woman thing to do, that she goes, I'll figure it out, I'll slow on the way down, right? Masculine thing to do is say, that's insanity. You look over that cliff and say, no way, right? I'm only jumping off if I actually have my parachute on me already. So what we need is your parachute. You ready for your parachute?
Yes.
Okay, your parachute is that for you, one of the easiest energies to focus in on, okay, are going to be masculine energies, okay? So we're looking to say, I want to open to something specific. So we're going to say, it could be Archangel Michael, it could be Saint Germain, it could be Christ, it could be Sananda, better known as Christ on your planet, Jesus. It could be any masculine figure that you feel comfortable with. Okay? And what happens is that that's a safety to say, right? A masculine being is going to assess my body. So let's look at feminine. Feminine, so Goldie is a good example, okay? I love you, Goldie. Okay?
As a feminine? I'm a good example of feminine?
Well, I'm
yes, you are.
I'm going to say, hold on. Yes. So Goldie, we see that Goldie's excitement. So I'm prefacing this with I love you, Goldie, right?
Okay, indeed.
Okay? So that feminine energy gets so excited that they whip their little bodies around, right? Talk really, really fast. They sometimes drink a little too much. They go to that too much place, right?
Oh, she's been watching me.
Yes, she has.
Yes, indeed. Okay,
because
sorry.
Because the heart is extremely open, and that open heart allows all of this stuff in, and there is a place where it is almost overboard. So you will see feminine as, oh, they're overly sensitive, overly emotional. Overly is the word. Right? Okay. For a channel, okay, for a masculine channel, you're going to say overly. So let's say a warrior, okay? You don't want to pick up a sword and go into battle with a sword that's too heavy for you. If you can't swing it properly, you're not going to choose overly, because you know overly defeats the purpose, in that it will defeat you in the end. A masculine actually knows. A masculine perspective is on the conservative side to say, I want to accomplish my task, not break through the boundaries and limits. Feminine loves to break open all the boundaries and limits. They love to blow it wide open and say, oh, if it's too heavy, I'll figure it out, right? I'll grow the muscles, right? And that's because feminine has a trusting nature. Masculine has a pull back nature. And that's a good thing. Both sides are good things. One's not better than the other. Make sense?
So it's always staying in a place of balance over and over, because when one's balanced, it's easier to focus.
So for you, it is to realize I am primarily, I'm in a masculine body, right?
Yes.
So that I need to, based on the body I'm in. So for Goldie, I'm in a feminine body and I have the tendency to overextend, okay? So what do I do with that overextending? What are the things that I need to protect myself, make my world be easier because of that open heart, that overextending? As a masculine, what do I need to do? Because I tend to pull back, I tend to contract, I tend to choose the realm of safety. So once you know what you are, then you know the balancing modality. Right? So you know that, I'm pulled back for safety reasons. What are the safety modalities I need to put in place? And for you, for channeling, you don't want to blow open because you're in a masculine body. Masculine bodies that blow wide open are pretty scary. Masculine bodies are attached to testosterone, and when we are a channel, that taps into rage, that taps into a lot of things. There are reasons, Brian, why you are holding back. It's safe for Goldie, for Christina, for the women to jump off because they have estrogen. They don't have testosterone. There is a difference.
Speaking
right?
of that, speaking of that, that comes to my one other question I have.
Go ahead.
The balance of the sexual energy.
Yes.
Where does that sexual energy come from, Sophia?
All right, so let's go back for one moment. So I'm going to bridge all of us here, because I've been talking about Goldie as well. So we're going to bridge back to sexual energy and where does it come from, okay? Which is actually the quick answer is uniting the masculine and feminine, bringing them together.
I
right?
see.
Pretty
yes,
simple,
yes.
Based on anatomy and based on a lot of things, right?
Yes.
Also, the yin-yang symbol, bringing them together. Where does six sexual inclination come from? The desire to unite, to bring together masculine and feminine, yin and yang, up and down, left and right. Back to Goldie for a moment, okay? So,
yeah.
Beloved, right? Goldie?
I'm here. I'm definitely here. Absolutely.
Okay, so notice that we, at times, right, we make fun of you, right?
Indeed, indeed. But it's all in divine. I like it. You know, learning to laugh at self is part of learning to love self.
Good.
So, indeed.
That is why I actually reflect that. So I say Goldie is overboard, right? That's almost saying, right?
Right.
Goldie is overboard because this is a part of yourself. That's how you get information. That's how you connect with information. I'm going to say it's not always the best way to get information, but when people are almost making fun of you or you're being hard on yourself, that's how you get it.
Interesting.
It is interesting, right?
Yeah, fascinating, actually. Okay, does someone have... Is that you, Brian, or is that Christina?
Yes, that. No, it was my son in the background.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know. It sounded like little puppy, actually.
Yeah. But no, it was fascinating how it's just really, for me, I mean, I'm attracted to the feminine energy, and I love it how they can be spontaneous, something that I'm not used to. And I feel that around me all the time. And it's just really me allowing myself and trusting myself to move it up a notch. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. And that's where a lot of sexual energy actually goes astray, okay? Now I'm just speaking honestly here, in that what men are drawn to is that openness. Is that the ability to receive. So we think of anatomy, again, a woman is receiving, taking in, right?
Mm.
So that's what masculine gets all excited about, saying, wow, the ability to open and take in. And then that openness almost takes over, because remember, a masculine perspective is testosterone kicks in, and that overly pursuing something, right? So that it's that overly hardness of something, right? So now I am using sexual terms, but I'm not. When you feel what I'm saying, it is a hard energy, right? There is a reason. Yes, we have this anatomy and we use those words, okay? Because there is a force that comes. So masculine feels this openness and pursues it with force. And what happens is, because masculine tends to be contained, so contracted, when they open with force. So this is where we talk about rape, and we talk about energies where force is taking over a masculine being that is opening themselves and feeling out of control, right? And wanting to somehow control this out of control feeling, right? And that's them forcing themselves on someone else. They're trying to control this feeling of, I'm opening, but I don't like it. It's scary. It's vulnerable. Let me take the vulnerability out of it. Let me put the harshness back in.
So the feminine is just the balancing. It's just learning to balance.
Well, all realms here, why we are here, is to value the opposite side, to value, to understand, and to understand both the positive and negative. So that is a negative side of masculine, this overpowering nature, this aggressive, that's a negative, right? Yet the contract is actually a positive, the hold back, utilize safety, protect thyself, protect those around. So again, we spoke about this last time, it's the positive and negative of each side, positive of masculine, positive of feminine, negative of masculine, negative of feminine, bringing that into union and understanding that both sides, positive and negative, are valuable. Positive and negative and masculine and feminine are equally valuable and equally need to resolve itself, masculine to masculine, feminine to feminine, positive, negative, and then with each other.
Yes, yes.
But balance is not masculine with feminine. Balance is masculine with masculine, positive and negative, finding its balance. Then feminine, positive and negative, finding its balance. And balance, masculine and feminine, finding each other.
And wouldn't that be the alchemy point? When it was in balance, wouldn't it become actually androgynous?
yes and no, for that masculine and feminine coming together wants to have a lot of expression. So you would find you would not move into that negating of masculine and feminine, because really if you look at, let's say, planet Earth, wouldn't it be great to have a balance of masculine and feminine for a while? Wouldn't it be great to have 200 years of masculine and feminine in balance and union?
More than great. It'd be heaven, indeed.
Off into non-masculine and feminine, right? It moves into the manifestation of balance. Masculine and feminine.
Okay.
Difference, right? And once that has been expressed over and over and over again, oh, yes, we've done this for thousands of years now, then we move into the morphing, where it no longer takes on a masculine or feminine frequency.
Indeed.
Yes,
okay.
Move
indeed.
Up into higher dimensions. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because in spirit, there is no gender. There's only gender in the duality of the physical.
Yes, well, you could say yes and no in that. You could say that masculine and feminine is still somewhat represented in the spiritual realm, yet in the end, we are all universally one, okay?
Yeah.
But there is still a splitting of doing it this way and doing it that way. So there is still the idea of embodiment is splitting from something. In splitting, we become separate, right?
Right.
So that separate takes on an identity of something, and really the masculine and feminine is an easy way to just identify or look at it. Doesn't mean it always represents itself that way, but there is still distinguishing in all levels of physicality or reality other than being in the oneness, in the merge of oneness. There is still a distinction of here and there.
Good. Even in the non-physical, there's a distinction of here and there in the non-physical?
Well, there are tons of levels of non-physical, right? So, yes,
right.
In most levels of non-physical, there is still a here or there, very much so.
Huh. Okay.
So if you look at what dreams may come, there is still a here or there, right?
Right.
There is not a blending of we're all in this oneness, I can't distinguish myself from you. So from a universal picture, mostly there is a here and there. There are very, let's say, sleep states or in union states where you're in that all oneness state. Those are the lesser versions of it. You're still in a here or there, because that's you continuing to evolve, continuing to have experiences.
Right, right. Thank you.
You can't have experiences unless there's something else, right?
Exactly.
Or something else, right?
Right.
Thank
yes.
you,
well,
Brian.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to Danielle. Much love to you, dear. I feel your energy also. So
good.
I just wanted to say thank you. And to all of you, much love to you, Goddess Sophia.
I take it, I receive it, and I send it back to you, my friend.
Thank you. Take care, Goldie. Namaste.
Thank you so much for calling, Brian. Thank you. I so appreciate when you call in. Namaste. All right, we have another caller. I don't know if it's the caller from before, but we will bring them on. And, okay, sorry, my computer's gone white screened. Okay, area code 315, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. No, I didn't call before. I just logged on. Brian's question got really, like, out there for me, but I wanted to ask a more practical question about career for me. I'm in a huge transition right now, and I just need some guidance.
Good. Tell me what you're transitioning from. Hello, my friend. It is Sophia. And tell me
Hello.
Where you're transitioning from.
From an 18-year marriage to being single and on my own.
Yes. It's nerve-wracking, right? It's uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. A lot of uncertainty.
Yes. Mm. Well, in uncertainty, we are uncomfortable with that. It's like peeking through the veil. What's on the other side? I don't know, right? So
right.
What we want to start with, friend, is really beginning to imagine that in the uncertainty, there will be great surprises for you. So what I want to say to you, what's to come, is levels of awakening and surprises where you go, ah, this is what it's like to be in a place where people see me, acknowledge me, appreciate me. Ah, so I know it's uncomfortable right now. I know it's uneasy and there are not a lot of answers. Yet, I want to say to you, if you expect gifts, you're going to get gifts. Does that make sense?
Sure, I love gifts.
Good. So I want you to imagine that by choosing this transition, by, let's say, choosing, this is a divorce you're going through right now, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, by choosing to end something, right, to say that this is not working, I want to move towards that which works for me, okay? I really want you to imagine the universe, because it takes a lot of courage to end what doesn't work. So I want you to know that you're going to be rewarded for creating a completion, right? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And most times when people think divorce, they don't think you're being rewarded, right? They think, oh, something went wrong, right?
Right, right, exactly.
Immediately what we want to do, and I want you to use visualizations with this, I actually want you, this is going to sound very silly, but I'm going to give you a third dimensional embodiment. I want you to actually go out, buy yourself a gift, any small item, wrap it, and put it on the kitchen table, right? Wait a week and open it. And I want you to know that as you open it, you say to yourself out loud, I am going to receive more and more gifts. This divorce is opening me to receiving gifts. It sounds
okay.
Silly, but as you actually do this, you're going to do the action, the embodiment that's going to help you trust that you deserve gifts. Because that's what I want to tell you today. You deserve gifts. And that's the biggest gift I can give to you. And I will answer more practical questions. I'm going to ask you to ask more specific. But the thing I need to do as a guide of yours is to tell you, you deserve a lot of gifts. How do you feel when I say that?
Grateful. Yes, I bring them on. I do want them.
Okay, so homework assignment, go buy yourself a gift, wrap it, and open it a week later. So on a more practical scenario, what would you like information on? So give me a very specific question, and I will answer specifically.
Well, I'm thinking about going back to school.
Yes.
And going back to school for nursing.
Good. Okay. And tell me why you feel drawn to go there.
Well, that's the reason why I'm pausing is because it's just more of a financial decision because I could take a two-year program and RNs in this area start out making $50,000.
Yes. So it is a very practical choice, right?
Yes.
Okay, and tell me, and I love practical choices, so I'm going to actually give some confirmation here, but tell me about, in your wildest dreams, right, where money isn't a consideration, what type of work would you like to be doing in order to bring in money, where you do what you like and money comes through the door?
You know, traveling and going on retreats.
Good, okay. Good, I love this. So what I
Me
want
too.
To tell you is that you are very spot on in your practicality because really based on the economy and based on everything that's going on, there is a huge demand for nurses, okay, a huge demand. And then there is also a huge demand for traveling nurses. So when you complete your program, you would have the ability to combine both traveling and nursing at the same time. So that's a very practical you that says, how do I earn a wage, right, that is solid and supports me and helps me feel good about myself? So I'm going to say right off the bat, I like that practical choice of yours. However, when we are only utilizing the practical side of ourselves, we're going to bump into all of the stuff that are really challenging and difficult in nursing. So, yes, it is a great let's say, profession to earn you a really good wage, yet there are so many challenges in nursing schools. There's so many uncomfortable things that you have to do. So in order to balance that out, we have to equally pursue a path of passion. So for you, I would say traveling, looking at writing about traveling, looking at traveling blogs, and beginning to say, what could I do that has traveling associated with it that I somehow infuse? Maybe it's a traveling club. Maybe you don't even get to travel while you're in nursing school, but you're listening to people traveling. You're looking at pictures that you're starting to write about the travels you want to do. Unless you infuse, let's say, that freedom of the soul with practical, the practical will become a burden. Does that make sense? Mm.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
In nursing, what I tell everyone, for nursing is a really wonderful profession. It really is. And we could use more nurses these days. What I tell everyone, unless you have a very powerful passion, unless you're passionate in being a nurse, if you're not, you have to balance out that training time with a passion or it will eat you up. And I'm just being extremely practical because that's what you told me right off the bat. Hey, Brian, you're out there, we got to get more practical. And that's true. Because you go out there at times, right? And one of Brian's messages is, hey, man, we got to get a little more practical. And we can do that together because we have had conversations with Brian over and over again. So my practical advice for you, I love pursuing nursing for stability for you. I feel it will give you great stability, but I know that without really infusing training with a passionate side, maybe it's taking a ballroom dancing class, it's anything, anything that infused passion, without that balance, it will become burdensome to you, and that's not what it's meant to be. It's meant to be stability.
Okay.
How does that feel?
That feels good.
Yes.
And yes.
You're right on track in pursuing stability, because that's one thing when we look through the veil, when we have nothing that's stable out there, we all panic that we can't receive our gifts because we're not grounded. We don't know what path to pursue. So as you pursue nursing, all of these gifts are going to show up because you have a stable pathway. You put your feet on the ground and you're going to give yourself a lot of what I call great levels of openings of chest and self-esteem, that you're going to go, wow, I'm really good at a lot of things, because I know for a fact you would be good at nursing. Now, it doesn't need to be a passion. When you're good at something, that's when we deliver it and we can walk away and it doesn't torture us all the time. When we're passionate about something, it tends to torture us. So I like the path of nursing for you because it won't torture you once you get to it, right?
Yes.
It won't torture you. And really, I really suggest people to earn money on things that they're really good at. And we leave our passions for things that we don't have to put a lot of money considerations on them. And eventually, we'll earn great money by our passions when we put zero money considerations on them. So I like you as a nurse. I feel very confident. I want to give you my arm and say, I trust you drawing my blood. Yes?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Sophia.
Good. It's so lovely being with you, and thank you so much for allowing yourself to be vulnerable, because it's a vulnerable time for you. So thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Yes, namaste, my friend.
Namaste. Bye-bye.
Namaste. Sophia, could you elaborate a little more on the idea, the passion torturing us? I'm interested in that.
Well, a lot of times we are in a field that we are passionate about. So when we are passionate, so feel that word passion, right? That we are so committed, we are almost obsessed with it in a way. Mm-hmm. We want to fix all its quirks. We want whatever it is to match our highest vision of it. So let's say we're passionate about nursing. Oh, there's a lot of things in nursing that could use some fixing, right?
Mm.
There are a lot of systems that aren't the best systems in the world. So when we're passionate about nursing and doing nursing, it tends to keep us up at night. We tend to come home and try and figure out all the ways that nurses could be treated better, that nurses could get higher salaries, that we could give better care to our patients. We try and fix it all. a lot of times when we're passionate and we're doing that passionate for a living, we're trying to fix all the problems.
Understood. Okay.
So
okay,
when we're
sense.
Not pursuing our passion for a living, when let's say it's a hobby, when it's something that we're pursuing part-time, we forget about fixing it and we really focus on what we love, because really we have another job, we have something else to do, so we don't have time to contemplate all the problems of the world in our passionate subject, right?
Right.
We're earning a living, we're bringing that in, and we're pursuing our passion. So in our passions, we tend to focus on all things yang, all things positive. So we start bringing positivity to that hobby, that part-time thing, and that passion that is not burdened tends to uplift the whole field. So those that are part-time, so a lot of times if someone was passionate about nursing, I would say it would be really interesting for you to go part-time nursing, and what other skill are you good at that you could also go part-time it as well, so that you stabilize this feeling of having to fix it all.
Indeed. No, that's you describe very much the way I dance with the nannying. You know, I love my children. I'm passionate about speaking all things spiritual. And yet, you know, it really, because at one point I was pursuing radio and not, you know, letting go of my nanny gigs, not being with the kids. And in all honesty, that put me so out of balance.
Yeah.
I can't even, I mean, it's everything you just described, I mean, to the ninth, because not only was I out of balance, I mean, I ended up affiliating myself with somebody who just blatantly deceived me. And so, you know, it really came back to it in an honest assessment to myself. Why did I give up nannying again? You know, I was like, what am I doing? And I only work nannying, you know, really part-time, anywhere between 20, you know, actually about 15 to 30 hours a week. It always varies, and I'm fine with that. And but that grounds me that I'm not running around with a chicken, with my chicken heads cut off, trying to make the radio, quote-unquote, business pay my bills.
Yes, you are extremely good at nannying.
Yes.
You're really good at it, and you can leave it. You can walk away from it and leave it. And that's
yes.
one of the keys about having stability and earning money, that one of the ways, it's not the way for everyone, but the most stable way is to get a job that you can deliver, do it well. And I mean do it well. I don't mean you're just showing up and doing it because, right? I mean you're good
okay.
at something. Right? You're good at it. Doesn't mean you're passionate or you're great at it, that you're the expert at it, but you're really good at it. I say to people, pursue a living that you're good at and pursue your passions as a part-time endeavor. Eventually, your passions will most likely turn into that thing when that thing doesn't have all the pressure on it. So do what you're good at. And people will say all the time, right? So I'll give a great example, and it's going to be a dramatic example, and then we will bring Christina back to describe it. But Christina is extremely good at channeling. She's great at this. She knows how to train herself. She knows what to do. She's really, really good at it. Therefore, this has become her profession. Her passion lies in dance. She's a dancer.
Oh, wow.
Right? And she...
Oh, I just got huge chills. That's okay. Okay.
She knew when she was young, her parents said, you are not pursuing dancing. And there was part of her that knew if she pursued her passion for money, it would suck her dry. It would suck the life out of that passion. So Christina
right.
is great. She's really good at channeling and passionate about dancing. Isn't that funny to say? But that's the reality here. Now, of course...
Well, I love it, though. It's so paradoxical, which is, isn't that the way life always is?
It is paradoxical. Now, of course, yes, when you hang out with me, of course, I will just hold myself in high esteem and say, everyone gets a little, ooh, yes, maybe passionate about Sophia here and there, yes. But the
indeed,
bottom line is, I am a handful to you have in your life in this vocal way every day. For I am vocally in her life. For, to be honest, I'm vocally in all of your lives every day. Yet Christina has pursued sharing it out loud with people. So you can imagine that the life of Christina / Sophia, right, is a challenging one in that you can imagine someday she's not so passionate, right? I'll give this as an example. Okay, so here we are chatting, offering wisdom to the world, and there is a Leica game on, the final Leica game, right? So as the Christina who's channeling, she's going, yes, this is fabulous, but Christina would really like to be sitting in front of the television watching the first quarter drinking a beer right now, right?
I love it. It's so real. This is so real. I love it.
So, and this is one of the pieces that our last caller also addressed. This is one thing that Christina is really, really good at, is being practical, even when she is speaking with a guide, divine. When she is speaking with guidance over and over again, she's found a way to be practical, to say, yes, Sophia and I, we're really good together, that I'm really, really good at it. Yet the thing I'm passionate about and I want to keep for myself over there is dancing. Isn't that lovely?
That's phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's so, you know what it is? It's honest. That's so honest.
Very honest. Right?
Yeah,
so
very authentic.
The question, what am I good at and what am I passionate about? And usually those are different things.
That's exactly right. Yes.
And the passion thing is something we really want to contain and keep as a sacred modality and really develop in a safe environment. So, again, ask the question, what am I good at? That's where I put money next to it. I'm good at that. Oh, money, money, money. What am I passionate about? Let's contain that and keep money away from that.
That's a whole yin yang again.
Right?
Yeah, oh, indeed. Well, for when you speak it, I'm already seeing it. It's applicable in my life. That is where I'm at. But it's because I'm there that I can actually say that I'm more grounded and more stable than I've ever been in my life right now.
So let's go back, actually, Goldie, to your story. So let's go back and say that you're really good at children, right?
Okay.
Being with children, observing children, right? Being with them, but also observing their wisdom. So when I talked about a book project for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that is attached to what you're good at, which is children, being with children, right?
Okay.
And it touches upon what you're passionate about, which is awakening, right?
Yes.
It's talking about awakening stories, but it's actually much more practical. It's you being with children and hearing those with children and the awakenings of children. So writing that book, right, is something that is really good for you, because you'd be good at it, because you're good at being with children, you're good at understanding children that are awakening, indigo children, you're good at translating what they're saying, right?
Right.
And that's different from the radio shows and everything else. So the other side of it is this passion about pursuing spirituality, pursuing this passion. Ah, Goldie, the women coming together, passionate, 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 right? We let that be that and say we're not going to worry about money over there because we're going to pursue children is what you're really good at, Goldie, and where money will come through the door easily because you're good at it and you don't have to solve everything. You don't have to fix it because that is that passionate part of you. That's you wanting to work it all out, figure it all out.
Yeah, no, indeed.
Good.
But I'll be honest, I have to be honest, though, it's the writing part. I have a huge, and you know, I realize time is running out, but I have a huge block around writing. I don't, because I have thought about the book project, and I've actually thought about getting my radio shows transcribed because, it's already written. I just got to put it into word, you know, literally transcribe, kind of, you know, similar to, I think there have been other people that have done, like channelings, and then they just take the channelings and make them, you know, compile them and make them into books.
So
yeah,
I was just stop you for a moment and say the piece for you to hear that's the most important. So the book is just a sidebar, okay? So yes,
okay.
There are hurdles to jump over, okay? But the thing
okay.
that you could really get out of this, and then I'm going to bring Christina back, the thing you could really get out of this is hearing that children, pursuing children is your stabilization, is where you will earn money, and really have that stable energy you're talking about, income coming in, pursuing what you're really good at. That's the message to take out of today.
Not the book, the children.
Well, the book can be part of how you pursue it. So there are many avenues. There are many, many, many ways in which you can pursue your expertise with children, right? Because you're
right.
so good at it. You're really good at it. You're good with children. You have a childlike nature to you so that you're good at it. So pursue being good at it, and that will bring you lots of money. I'm being very specific. That will bring you lots of money.
Well, namaste, Sophia. I think that's a fabulous note to you can leave on that note. That's
you can leave on that note. So everyone, pursue what you're good at. That will bring you lots of money. I'll say it again. Pursue what you're good at. That will bring you lots of money. Keep what you're passionate about as a sacred project on the side. I leave you for now. Thank you, my friends. Yes?
Love you. Love you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Love you always. Always.
All right. Do me a favor, and as the channel's coming back, will you throw out the website and all that fun stuff, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can visit Christina and the Goddess Sophia at ChristinaSophia.com, Christina with a K, Sophia, SOPHIA.com, and she'll come back up because I am curious, Chris, when you or Christina, when you come back up, to talk about the newsletter. Just what is I'm not sure what that's morphing into, and
Hi.
I love hi.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks. So
of course,
I would invite everyone to come to the website. I have been doing a weekly newsletter called Insights. There are a lot of archives, so you can go back and see all of those. You can also go and watch all the videos that are connected to it. Right now I'm on a little bit of a hiatus that I'm taking a few months off. And in that, I'm actually leaving all of those resources up so that so as you join us on the mailing list, what you'll do is just get little here and there notices about what we're doing, and that we're going to get back to a regular schedule maybe sometime this year, but it actually might start anew in the new year, for we're about to change things. So basically, my business has been focused on the spiritual marketplaces, so anything that has to do with spirituality. So I've been doing spiritual radio shows, and we're just getting ready to actually bring it beyond the spiritual marketplace. So we're looking to ask.
That sounds very exciting.
Very exciting, but it's asking the question, how can the public embrace channel material, and what do I and Sophia need to do to make that digestible so that, you know, I'm not considered out there, and even if I am, I'm able to use that for my benefit so that people will not be afraid of out there. They'll actually maybe be intrigued by it. So Christina and Sophia are going to come out in a new way soon, which will be more mass-orientated, but that doesn't mean that you still won't be able to get the Sophia that we all love, the Sophia that's spiritual out there. But she's also
I would just like to add, though, to be honest, I really believe that the level of consciousness that is awakening on the planet is that it's mass consciousness will embrace this as, you know, you are clearly coming into a your own birthing of helping them just how to know, like we were saying, how to manage our sensitivity. I mean, whether people, it's no longer that people are sensitive because they're picking up, you know, Neil Donald Walsh's book on Conversations with God.
Right.
We're sensitive because the consciousness is shifting. And so there are people out there who have never even, you know, spoken to a channeler or heard this, but they're still becoming sensitive of, you know, everything going on. And so this is the new manager. You know, it used to be maybe a manager of you know, finances, quote unquote. Not saying that that won't still be there, but now we have management of sensitivity is
right.
Now clearly as a supply and demand. There is a demand for this.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think your timing's perfect. Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we'll be coming out anew, and you know it will be a little bit different in that I've been sharing with this with everyone that as we Christina Sophia come into you know more of a mainstream market that things will change a little. But as you spend time with Sophia, anyone that has been following us up until now, you know that there's always wisdom, no matter how she's saying it, no matter in what way she's saying it, no matter who she's talking to. So I loved today when she said, everyone pull out the pen and write down this brilliance on
Sam. I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope you'll still stay with another reality show. I mean, we, as if I'm here with, you know, 12 other people. I absolutely adore and love. I honor your growth, and if it doesn't work out, but I hope you stay with another reality show because
thank you.
It's fun flying with you, so Christina, it really is. It's fun.
Oh, it's so fun. I enjoy being here, and you know, everything shifts and changes, so we're all just gonna shift and change together. We'll see where we go. So
I can't ask for a more honest answer than that. I honor that. I do. It's all beautiful. It really is. Just. In my now moment right now, life is beautiful, really.
Oh, it was so lovely to share in the show today, and I so appreciated all our callers today. It was so lovely.
You know, there are those nights we have, you know, the audience clearly, because there was something I was sensing that was like, they are missing Sophia and Christina. I was, and, you know, there was the caller that called before the show even got aired. She was waiting on the queue. So I enjoy these nights very much. However it comes out, I love you, Christina. I love you.
I love you. And thanks, everyone. I'm off to watch the Lakers.
Okay. All right. Have an amazing night. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
And we have, we have a few seconds. So what I'm going to do is let everybody know next week, Karen Anderson will be here for the whole 2 hours. Karen Anderson is an animal communicator. And what she's going to do is tell stories in the first hour and then take questions about your pets and beloved animals in the second hour. And everybody, truly, truly have an amazing, amazing week. I love you all. I feel you all. And I'm grateful that you're all out there. I love you guys. I'll see everybody next week. Or I'll listen to everybody next week. Bye.